worship that's found on page 3 of your bulletin.
I'll
give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you.
the singing of the Lord's Prayer, first in Hawaiian and then in English.
Ho'okumuria kaikalasia o ke apalahi e ko mako mau kupuna I kupa'a ma hope o ke aloha o ke akua mai ke kahi hanana a ke kahi hanana haku o mako no na haumana a Yesu Christo e Ohana.
Where is Jason?
Thank you.
give thanks to God for his abundant blessings that make it possible for us to share. So it is that we offer the gift of our very lives and the gifts which come from the work of our hands. We offer them with glad and joyful hearts. We will receive the morning offering.
Accept these offerings of our gratitude, and signs of our aloha in the realm you have promised, the kingdom for which we wait. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Hepulikeia makainoa o Yesu Christo. Amen. You may be seated.
We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Tom. I'll go through the cards and then some of the things we've received this week from others for prayers. Marco Cardonini Kihe. Marco, are you in here or outside? Outside, yeah. Sorry, last week we put Kula, but Marco lives in Kihe. And last Sunday we were praying for Jennifer Davis, his wife's sister. His wife is Kimberly. But she did die this past week, so prayers for the family. Also, from Cindy Burkett, Selma Smith, 94. She died recently, and Cindy said she was a gifted pianist and shared her gift with many. And she's from the home of the World Series champions. So she, family is in Houston. From Jan Porter, Kihei, Mike Burdick was diagnosed with a mass on his brain. Test this week will determine treatment, what kind of treatment needs to be done. Don and Reg Branson, Gig Harbor, Washington. We've been keeping their great niece, Lene, in our prayers. She's been in the hospital for a month and still waiting for a transplant. So prayers for Lene. And then, I always save the birthdays for last. Should we do that now? Yeah. No, I'll save it for last. We'll go through all the other things first. And then end on a happy birthday note. Because there are a few birthdays today. So we hold in our prayers those around the world who are recovering from natural disasters. While some of us here in Maui were frustrated by the power outage the other week because of the thunderstorms that came our way, we lived with the inconvenience of not having electricity for about 10 hours. You know how we get there, everybody goes crazy. All of that is to say, we must continue to hold in our prayers our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico, as most of the island is still without electricity. So you think it was tough for 10 hours? Go for over a month since Hurricane Maria devastated the island. We continue to pray for the more than 100 million men, women, and children who fled their homes, primarily because of wars and armed conflicts in different parts of the world. We continue to seek reasonable ways to curb gun violence across the United States. Late this week, it was announced that Massachusetts became the first state to outlaw bump stock devices that can turn guns into automatic weapons. And the attorney generals of 17 states, including Hawaii, as well as the District of Columbia, are calling on Congress to abandon legislation that would allow concealed carry gun permits issued in one state to be valid in all states. So, if you're coming to Hawaii, you can leave your gun at home. Thank you very much. And moving right along, following last week's shooting at Brandon State University that left two students dead and a shooting in Girard, Ohio that left a police officer dead, many of you saw the news, a gunman shot and killed two men and a woman on Thursday at a Walmart store in Thornton, Colorado, a suburb of Denver. Police arrested the suspected gunman. On the same day, a woman in Maybank, Texas, was arrested on suspicion of shooting her 7 and 5-year-old daughters to death, and then trying to shoot her husband, but the gun malfunctioned. Police were called Wednesday night, late, with a report that there was a woman who was suicidal, but when they arrived, she and her husband said everything was okay. And then Thursday morning is when the children were killed. This morning, Kahu Dinet Kong shared there was another shooting, and they're still trying to determine what happened at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. About 20 shots were fired, but right now it's more chaotic, so we'll find out later what happened. Internet knows some of the people. Is it in that church or no?
No, it's in San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah. So for the people in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And then on Friday, late in the week, a father shot and killed his 14-year-old son because he decided he would rather have a dead son than a gay son. And that's in Henderson, Nevada. My brother and sister-in-law live in Henderson, but this came through the news this morning. So, last Sunday I shared with you that data compiled by the Gun Violence Archive shows that over 800 people have died as a result of shootings since the mass shooting in Las Vegas, Nevada. This week, the number is now over 900, and we can include the people that we just mentioned this morning. Many of the killings are believed to have been carried out with handguns, not the high-powered assault weapons that were used in Las Vegas. We pray for the families of the 8 people who were killed and dozens of others who were injured in New York City in the attack in New York City last week. We received an email from Carol and Bob Suzuki, they were here at the early service, that their daughter-in-law Morgan was at work in the city on that day at the Four Seasons Wall Street Hotel, 3 blocks from the site of the attack. She's okay. And then Ellen, we received word that Connor Barbary and his wife Christy are also okay. Connor and Christy were married in San Francisco on August 1st. I know, I just found out. Anyway, Connor was one of our youth workers while he was here living on Maui. Both he and Christy moved from Honolulu to New York about 2 years ago, and they're both working in the culinary industry and not far from the area where the attack took place, but they're okay as well. So for that, we give thanks to God. We pray for all religious and political leaders, this week especially, as there are meetings in Southeast Asia and East Asia, and the concern is over North Korea, that what we would do is lift our prayers and not be so quick to reduce the option only to war. So we pray for our enemies. Okie dokie. On that happy note, Judy's birthday is tomorrow, she'll be 81. John's birthday was yesterday and he's 18. Oh wait. No. And Taka's celebrating a birthday coming up on when? The 10th.
Friday.
So 3 birthdays, Taka, Judy, and John. Oh wait, what did I say? Taka, Judy, and John. And so we're going to sing happy birthday. I don't know how you're going to get their names in, but sing. Happy birthday. Y'all. Celebrating birthdays, Sahuli Lahanao, happy birthday to you. Let us pray. We draw near to hear you speaking to us, O God, through human speech and in the moments of quiet as we gather here in McKenna. You are always among us, whether we acknowledge you or not. You are living and working in us and in spite of us. You gather us now from the east and the west, the north and the south, to remember our covenant with you. Like our spiritual ancestors who wandered in the desert and who sailed the open sea, we hunger and thirst for meaning. We confess that we chase many illusions in our search for satisfaction. May we live our faith in ways that do not so much call attention to us as to point beyond us to the Christ we seek to save. Turn us away from the pursuit of honors, privilege, and advantage. Keep us humble in our serving, that our urging and encouraging may show genuine care, and our thankfulness may draw others to your love. Hear our cries, O Lord, for the blessed and broken church, for those who are entrusted with power, for all who have lost their way, for those who suffer at the hands of others, for those who languish in hunger or thirst, for those who teach and those who would learn, for those who are sick or dying and those who care for them, for those whose needs are known only by you. We give you thanks and praise, for you know our needs even before we ask, and that your Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. So we pour out our thanks for your steadfast love that endures forever. We give thanks that you empower us to bear witness to a world that needs the joy of your good news. When you send us, we will go. Encourage us with your love, that we may commit ourselves anew to live as those who belong to you through the grace of Jesus Christ. Eho I kaikamai, me ko aloha I hoia iyo, ya ma ko no, ma ka ke aloha, o Jesu Christo. Amen.
Thank you.
others of you who are back with us again, welcome back home tomorrow. The second reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 23. I'm reading verses 1 through 12, and this is from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. This is God's Word. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For all who exalt themselves will be humble, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." May God bless the reading of the word. Amen. He was born 7 months ago. I met his mom and dad yesterday in preparation for his baptism next month on New Year's Eve Sunday. His mom said that after several hours of labor, she opted for an epidural. Once it was administered to provide relief from the pain, it took all 10 minutes for her to Hanau to give birth to her son. Both mom and dad took parental leave at various times over the course of the first 3 months to be with their newborn son. Mom reported that except for getting up once during the night to feed him, he slept through the night and has turned out to be a pretty mellow baby. "He's like his dad," she said with a smile. Dad did not disagree. After 6 months, we may question whether it has been a matter of nature or nurture that he's turned out to be a pretty mellow baby. We may wonder if he is predisposed to be like his father in temperament through simple genetics, or if he has already managed to observe his father's behavior and decide to emulate him. Whatever the case may be, his parents are happy about their son's disposition. During our visit, she picked up her cell phone and found a video of him staring with eyes wide open, pumping his arms up and down and kicking his feet while giggling at his father. Dad was holding the cell phone camera in his hand, and mom was holding him up facing the camera. She can be seen smiling in the background. Dad cannot be seen or heard, but from what can be seen on his son's face, his expressions, and his laughter, it's obvious that Dad must have been making faces. In his letter to the church in Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul reflects on the nature of his ministry among the Thessalonians when he was first with them. No cell phone video, just a letter filled with his aloha and affection for those in the church. And he likens his relationship with them to a father with his children. Paul reminds them that it was his practice to work to support himself, not to burden them, and that his labor and toil among them was for the sake of sharing the gospel. He goes on to also remind them of how pure, upright, and blameless his conduct along with Silvanus and Timothy was toward them. Biblical scholars tell us that the importance of personal examples was well understood and the Greek and Roman world in which Paul lived. In an earlier age that they referred to as the age of cynics, the words of Julian the Apostate may well apply to leaders in civil and religious societies today. Although Julian rejected Christianity, he was regarded as a noble Greek philosopher and author. And he wrote the following with regard to the importance of personal examples of pure, upright, and blameless conduct of those in positions of leadership. Deeds with them, he wrote, came before words. If they honored poverty, they themselves seem first to have scorned inherited wealth. If they cultivated modesty, they themselves first practiced plain living in every respect. If they tried to expel from the lives of other men the element of theatrical display and arrogance, they themselves first set the example by living in the open marketplaces and the temple precincts, and they opposed luxury by their practice before they did so in words. But the Apostle Paul is even more pointed in his remarks, comparing his relationship with those in the church in Thessalonica to that of a father with his children. He describes his aloha for the Thessalonians with the striking image of a wet nurse from last Sunday's scripture reading to another intensely personal and intimate image this week. Paul saw himself as the father of the churches that grew out of his ministry and of those who became Christians. It's said that he could be stern in rebuking immature behavior, but he could also be tender in nurturing growth. In presenting himself as an exemplary father, Paul also conformed to personal examples that were also understood in the Greek and Roman world. The Greek orator, Socrates, rose in the 4th century of such an exemplary father. May, if you will recall, but recall your father's principles, you will have from your own house a noble illustration of what I am telling you. For he did not belittle virtue nor pass his life in indolence. On the contrary, he trained his body by toil, and by his spirit he withstood dangers. Nor did he love wealth inordinately, neither did he order his existence sordidly. I have produced a sample of the nature of Hipponicus, the father, after whom you should pattern your life as after an example, regarding his conduct as your law and striving to imitate and emulate your father's virtue. For it were a shame for children not to imitate the noble among their ancestors. Paul's desire is to exhort and encourage those in the church by providing guidance and nurture, but it is also his desire to plead with them to live lives worthy of the call, God who calls them, not only into God's glory and kingdom, but into a life of service here and now. In our reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus warns and instructs those who choose to follow him about what it means to live lives worthy of the God who calls them into a life of service. It's clear that Jesus is talking about the Pharisees, the leaders of the synagogue, and that his disciples are the intended audience to whom he is speaking. Jesus does not question the teaching of the Pharisees and scribes, but he is quick to caution the disciples by saying to them, "Do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach." Now, I know many of us have grown up in the church, and that particular passage always gets turned sideways because we say they do not practice what they preach. But it really is about the teaching of the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus is aware that the scribes and Pharisees were skilled and devoted in their understanding as interpreters of the law of Moses. He accepts and affirms that they were successors to Moses as teachers of Israel. But he warns the disciples of the glaring weakness among the leaders, their arrogance and their self-exaltation. He points to their failure to practice their teaching and their love of place and honor. It would be fair to say that such weaknesses are also evident in not only religious leaders, but in civic leaders who are in public service. We are reminded how easily we give in to our love of wanting to be or to have a place of honor at public gatherings, of wanting the best seats in the church and in the synagogue, of wanting to be greeted with respect for the positions we hold by virtue of the titles we carry. We see how susceptible we are in succumbing to such temptations. We see it in ourselves, and we see it in our leaders, both religious and civil. Matthew is not simply providing us with a Jesus who is content on reciting the flaws found among the religious leaders of his day. It is a problem that has infected all of us, whether we are in public service or in service to the church, when our love of place and preference supersedes our love of service to others. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is from this passage in Matthew. Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The greatest among us will not be those in positions of power or privilege. The greatest among us will be those living and leading a life of service to others, whether here at Kevala'i through our mission and outreach work, or our caregiving group, or out in the wider community. I know that many of you, beyond the doors of this church, are out in the wider community serving others, whether at Halekaukau or with Feed My Sheep, with the Friends of the Library, or at Hospice Maui, with the Maui Food Bank or Aloha House, with Kaunoa Senior Center, or Friends of the Children's Justice Center of Maui. As I watched the video of a baby boy giggling and smiling at his father, and how his parents have concluded that he is indeed a pretty mellow baby, it occurred to me that he may well imitate and emulate his father's virtue. I am convinced that he will grow up with the same measure of humility as his father, who is himself a public servant. So if you're ever on the north shore of Maui, at Baldwin Park or at Ho'okipa, he's one of our public servants up in the lifeguard stand, dealing with all the comings and goings of people who are at the beach. We are mindful as we gather around this table this morning to share in the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup that the God we have come to know in Jesus Christ calls us to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be servants in the service of others. And for that, we give thanks. Let us pray. Keha avi akula ikimi amanava imana anui nei eka I kohu hane, I hiki ke ho'omau I kahana no ko aupuni. We come, O God, longing to know the touch of your Spirit, that we may be encouraged to to serve you in the world. Amen.
Please remain seated and join us as we read together our statement of faith as found on the last page of your bulletin.
We believe in you, O God, eternal Spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You can call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declare it to the prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, man and master, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your Church to accept the cross and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and keep it sealed, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise us all who trust you for forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace. Your presence is our rejoicing and eternal life in your realm. As the land,
blessing honor, glory, and power. Amen. Please remain seated and join in the singing of Kahaku Aloha A, found on page 22 in the beige hymnal, and the table is prepared.
Same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This table is open to all. We're eating, we'll have bread that's gluten-free, so if you have allergies, if you raise your hand, she'll come to you, and she'll give you the bread from what she will have. We ask that you all wait until we receive the bread and the cup. We'll eat and drink together.
Thank you.
Take and drink, this is the cup of the new covenant poured out for us. Let us pray. Que havia cui cum mahalo mi ka hou mai kai e ki a tua I ki I a aina ku lena. We give thanks and praise, O God, for this feast. Ke hou mai kai nei ma ko I a hoi ki a tua ma ka ke o mati. Te ke o huana o Yesu Christo o lovi mai oi I a ma ko mai ka mana o ka make e o lana ma ko. Praise you, O God, that by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have delivered us from the power of death, making us alive to serve you and to serve others. Amen.
Please stand if you're able and join in our closing hymn, Summa Mina. Found on page 360 of the New Century Hymnal.
We will sing the first and second verse in the South African dialect. If you can say Tumamina and sing a Vuma, you've learned most of the song. And at the end, So Mandla. And will Cameron call this out?
Yeah.
Okay, Brother Cameron.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, may the Lord of the Lord, may the Lord of the Lord.